It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 333. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and on Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow. Also, all of the archives are easy to find. The links are on the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. Have a great show lined up. I have a few things I want to talk about before I get into the content, so let's get started. Tomorrow night, so I'm recording this on Thursday night. You're probably hearing this on Friday. So Friday night, December 3rd, I will be co-hosting Computer America with Carrie Holzman. Looking forward to that. So you can join us live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ComputerAmerica.com. You can join the chat and listen, but also you can actually watch and listen to Computer America on my Mike Tech Show TV channel on Ustream. I will also be broadcasting that. So that's always a lot of fun because you get to hear a lot of behind the scenes what's going on during commercials that you normally wouldn't hear just listening to the main audio feed. You get to hear the board operator. You'll be able to hear him speak. You'll be able to hear Carrie talk. Sometimes that can be fun. Sometimes not. We run into problems. But I'm connected via Skype, and you're getting the raw live feed on my, the unedited raw feed being broadcast on Ustream. There's something I'm going to ask you to do for the first time. I'm really going to ask you to take a moment and go over to podcastawards.com and cast a vote for the Mike Tech Show. I am honored to be nominated again in the technology category for Best Technology Podcast. And I thank everybody who voted for nominating me. But now there's another process. And this is the sixth year in a row I've been nominated. Now, when you look at that category and you see who I'm up against, I have lost to Dignation in the past, to Twit. We're talking some pretty powerful shows here. Security Now, twice. We're talking shows that have huge, huge listeners and quantity compared to the Mike Tech Show and you. But I think I have a pretty dedicated and passionate audience of all of you for listeners. And maybe this is a year I can slip in because you have to vote every day. So I need you to not only vote today, but go over after midnight. They reset everything Eastern time. And you need to vote every day. And you need to spread the word and ask other people to vote. Yes, I am honored to just be nominated. And every year, I have been very good. And I've never made a plea to ask anybody to vote. I really haven't. I've been very laid back about that. But this year, I guess I smell an opportunity. And we might be able to catch everybody else napping. And we might be able to slip in, and the Mike Tech Show might be able to walk away with one here. Anyway, that's my plea. You can give me a Christmas present by going over and voting for me, podcastawards.com, and I really appreciate that. Real quick, you got to share stories with me if this sounds familiar. I don't drive my wife's van a lot, and we're using that to go away for the holidays, and we're driving, and I get in the van, and the clock is set, and it's 5 minutes fast. My clock has to be the exact time. It drives me crazy. If I see a clock and it's not correct and it's in the house, I will fix it. My you know, make sure my phone, my computers, I want an accurate time. I don't want a time that I know I got to do math to make sure the time's right. My wife was like, no, don't change it. I said, look, I'm going to be driving the car all weekend. I'm going to be driving it over the holidays. I'm going to be in this thing. I got to have the right time. And so I set it and I get the time right. So now it's this past Monday. And my wife comes home from work Monday night and blames me for her being late for her train on Monday morning because she said, I forgot that the clock was not 5 minutes fast and she thought that she had five more minutes that she didn't have because she always does the math and she always, you know, and so she just missed her train because she cuts it that close. See, that's the difference. See, I wouldn't cut it that close. If I got a train I got to meet, I'm going to make sure I make it. And you know what? I make sure I'm not cutting it that close. Does this happen? Does this ring? Is it just me? Does this happen a lot? I don't understand. It's just one of those things that I had to share because I don't get it. I just can't do that. I got to have the time right. Anyway, now, is there ways we can sync our clocks in an automobile with the satellite or something and be able to get the right time? I would love that. It's something I don't understand too. And here's the tech part. My GPS, the time is not correct. And I thought that was set automatically. Once I set the time zone, I thought my GPS, you know, it's pulling the time and getting it from the satellite and it's tracking everything. But I looked at my GPS and it's like an hour off. I was like, how can that be? How can that be? Isn't that supposed to be synced? And so I have to take a look at my GPS, and I'm wondering if maybe the something happened where the time zone's wrong. So anyway, those things, they're just one of those things that just drives me crazy, and I got to make sure it's right. Let me know if you have similar stories or similar, quirks of things, little things that bother you like that. If you sit in my car, the time is very accurate. Follow-up on a question a listener had about converting an OST Outlook file to a PST. And Winston Wolf has been behind in catching up on the podcast. So he called me today and he said, Mike, I have a faster, easier solution for you. And you don't need a utility. And you don't have to even do what I said, which was load the OST, drag and drop everything to the PST file that you create. And voila, you got it. He says, Mike, there's an easier solution. In Outlook, I can't believe this was right in front of us. Go file export. So you load the profile. That's the OST. Click file export. Export to a file. Export it to a PST. Select all of your folders and let it export. And now you have a PST with everything that was in the OST. If you're using Outlook 2010, you got to go File, Options, Advanced, and then go to Export. It's very simple, very easy. I just had to throw that out there, so thank you, Winston, for that tip. We're going to talk about printing again. Yes, it's important enough because when I, on the last show, talked about my printer problems for a client where I'm trying to print to an XP shared printer from Windows 7. And there is a common issue that I did not realize, and a lot of you have followed up. We're going to cover that right now. I have this voicemail. Give a listen. Then we have a couple emails that I'm going to go over. I think important steps, because I think this is going to happen more and more as you start to get Windows 7 more, and as you get Windows 7 and it's in a mixed environment with XP, then these are details that you're going to need. Give a listen to this, and then we'll keep going.
Hey, Mike, Andy Brassfield here with Southeastern Laser in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I just wanted to send you a message about the printer question that you had on this week's podcast. You were talking about an HP LaserJet 2100, You were looking for the driver, felt like you maybe had a driver problem, couldn't locate that driver. Could you perhaps locate the driver for the HP LaserJet 4000 series? If so, that driver will work. Even the HP LaserJet 4 driver will work for the HP 2100. They use the same printer control language, so it's pretty easy to do that. I don't know if those drivers will be on HP's website or not, so just take a look. If not, I'm sure you can download them from somewhere on the web. And I also wanted to ask you on that PhotoSmart that you're having a hard time with it being shared across the network to the Windows 7 machine. I was just curious if you had been able to access the embedded web server on that printer by typing the printer's IP address into your internet browser address bar. That should allow you to surf over to the printer and see the controls and access some of the information about status within the printer itself. That will confirm the network communication. If you're not able to pull up that embedded web server, then you have more of a communication problem than a driver problem. It should be a straight network IP communication there, regardless of sharing. And hope that helps. And you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. And you might have noticed there was a lot of distortion there. Believe it or not, it was a lot worse. I cleaned that up because there was a noise that was happening in the background that was real bad. And at least I was able to get a lot of it eliminated using the noise removal feature of Audacity. And just real quick to divert for a second, if you can highlight a noise that is common throughout your audio file and you can get and isolate that noise, just a few seconds of it, you can then mark that and then say, okay, take that and now go through the entire file and eliminate it. And that's what I did. And that's the result. And at least you were able to hear, I think that the tech, you know, the voice was clear enough. And he definitely reminded me of something that you got to remember with HP printers, which is the lowest common denominator on a lot of HP LaserJets is the LaserJet 4. And I should have went to that for the 2100 that I'm having the trouble with. This is something that I'm going to be able to do and easily fix, and I know we're going to be able to print. He mentioned, can I get to the web access of that printer? Yes, I can. So I know I can. I'm talking to the printer, but there's just something else that's missing. And a few of you have wrote in. Kate sent a great link that goes step by step. And on Kate's link, I'm going to isolate the main step. And it was step 6 in the instructions. And it's to make sure that the port name, you got to create a local port with the share of the printer. So if the computer that I'm trying to share is called computer and the printer share name is printer one, you got to create a port / computer / printer one as the port name on Windows 7 as a local port. I did not do that. So that's an extra step that everybody mentioned. David sent the following, and he says, Windows 7 and a network printer, I had the same problem. You got to go to the router, find the name and IP address of the printer, go to the printer control panel, double-click the printer, the problem computer, double-click customize your printer icon, then select ports. Highlight and press configure port button. The address of the printer is on the second line as a name or IP address. If it's the name, replace it with the IP address of the printer. Now, here is where it depends on what you're doing. Now, the printer in question for my client does not have an IP address. It's just a USB-based printer, so you have to use the printer name, where if it had an IP address, oh, that would have been easy. I would have absolutely created a local port with that IP address, and I know I would have been able to print. And that's how I normally will print to network-based printers. But this printer is just being shared off an XP computer, and this is the step that I did not create. He goes in on in detail here. I opened a command window and typed ping and printer name. What I found is that the IP address pinged was not the address of the printer. Instead, the ping printer name was replaced by pingprintername.xxxx.com. I then looked at the TCP/IP network settings. You go to Control Panel, Network and Internet, Network Connections, click on Change Adapter Settings, link on the left. Right-click on the local area connections icon and select properties. Select the internet protocol, and in the window, press the properties button. In my case, the two buttons obtain IP address automatically and obtain DNS automatically were checked. This may not be necessary. The issue was in the advanced button. I pressed the advanced button and the DNS tab. In the bottom window, I found the xxx.com that was attached to my ping address for the computer, and the radio above it was selected. Append these DNS suffixes. This is something that if the network settings were set by someone else or a certain way, something to absolutely look at here for these DNS suffixes. This is not the problem for my client, but the reason I'm sharing it is because it can be a problem for you. I selected the other radio button, append primary and connection specific, and the checkbox under this. Now, when I pinged the printer name, it went to the correct IP address and the printer worked. Unfortunately, later, I was unable to print again and found that the appendees DNS suffixes reselected. I traced this to a work VPN that I log on to. Whenever I logged on to the VPN, it changed the radio button to append a work xxx.com suffix. In Windows XP, logging on to the same VPN the same way does not change this radio button, and the printer continues to work. I am still trying to find a way to prevent the VPN from disabling my printer. Any suggestions would be appreciated. This may not help you, but it is an interesting problem that is still ongoing. David, the VPN client that you have, they could be not allowing split tunneling. Now, split tunneling means that if you're going to use the internet or go to any IP connection, you're forced through the VPN and you can't use other local IP services from your system. It's to protect your corporate network that you're connecting to. It could be a VPN policy within the client of the VPN connection, and you may not be able to change that. That may be something. I know when we used to have a VPN software and the Cisco client, and I've used multiple clients, we would push down a client that it was locked. If you were going to connect to our corporate VPN, you could not make any changes. We made sure you're coming through our internet connection. There's no split tunneling happening where you could sneak out your own private internet connection. Because you're connected to a corporate network, you are now you're gonna have to follow all of the corporate policies that are associated with the client and the procedures for your IT department and your corporation. So there might not be a solution for you. You may have to just work around what you're given with the VPN. And it depends. I don't know if it's that complex of your VPN connection. But just something to remember out there when you're working with VPNs. This is some comments from Joe. And I had the same issue as yours, Mike, or at least very similar. Here are some of the notes I made about how to resolve it. HP printer install NW mini series on Windows 7 Pro that is connected to other PC via USB. Download the PCL5 driver, not PCL6. Go to the printer manufacturer's website, download and install the printer driver on your Windows 7 machine. It will go to the C drive, usually such as C:// HP LaserJet XXX. add a printer, local printer, create a new port. And this is where the step that I said I didn't have. And he says, for the printer name, use the one in the network on the Windows 7 machine. Click on the Windows XP computer you browse to on the network that has a printer attached to it and use the specific printer name, not the name used on the Windows XP machine locally. Very interesting. And spelling counts. Browse to the folder of the extracted printer files and the INF, and it will install. That's very interesting. And he says, but the installation will stall out after about 5 minutes sometimes. Just force a close through the task manager and print a test page. Good to go. You have to get a Windows 7 driver, 32 or 64-bit, or for whatever printer concerned. If drivers are not available, possibly Vista drivers would work for that printer. And the OS with which to associate it with, they are incompatible. If you did get the drivers, the trick is to install the drivers locally on the Windows 7 system and then point the printing port to the XP attached shared printer you want to print to. In other words, instead of printing to port USB 1 or LPT or whatever, you would point the Windows 7 printing port to //XP system and the shared printer. Joe, thank you very much. That is actually what's going to solve my problem. You know, before we continue with some, I have some, a large stack of email here. Give a listen to this comment.
Hey, Mike, this is Alan Nation over here in the state of Washington. Hey, I thought I'd call and mention a really useful resource for techs with their own business. Over at Podnuts, the Podnuts Daily, show number 252, he had a guest that really went into some great stuff about getting clients, your first meeting with clients, some of the different ideas that really would work out great for guys running their own tech support business. So I thought I'd share that with you and keep up the great show. I can't wait to hear the next one. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you. And that reminds me, not only am I going to have a link to that show, but Steve has reached out asking, he still has a Philly accent, even though he lives in Tampa, have a doing another Philly tech guys, or at least East Coast tech guys. So we're going to try to work something out. He also asked me to be a guest on Podnuts Pro, and I absolutely will. As a matter of fact, when he was getting, before he launched that podcast, he asked me to be part of that, and I couldn't be part of it on a regular basis just because of my schedule. But what I will do is occasionally definitely be a guest, and I will email Steve telling him that I'll be a guest, and I'll keep you posted to let you know when I appear so you'll be able to listen to the audio. So looking forward to that. Here's a nice break in the action. Give a listen to this promo, and then I want to talk about something that's going to be happening in a few months. Very important. Give a listen.
We still don't know what he looks like. Isn't that amazing, Brian?
I think he's a computer-generated Jin girl.
You know, I'm wondering that. Maybe he's a holographic character. He's from the future. Maybe he doesn't. He can't be seen because it would ruin our future.
Dark matter, the man or the myth, the mythological creation unseen is this. I
make all the women lose their breath when I whisper in the air and they grab their chest. I
am a juggernaut, laser made, and I will cut you with precision with my server blades. I have a story that you don't want to miss. It's priceless. It's the beginning of all the darkness.
Engage. General, our world is ending. The Dark Matter Project must be beginning.
Commander, our agent is in place. She has made citizenship with the human race. She's fully understanding in what happens next to control the vortex. Her name is Citizen X.
Welcome to Engineering of the Dark Matter Project. We'll go over the parts and you make sure it's in check. Body and mind.
When fused with human host Churchanium strength beyond belief, virtually indestructible, Mr. Dark Matter's mind is a multidimensional quantum flux. The processing power of the complete multiverse. In one word, he is unstoppable.
Dark matter, the man or the myth, the mythological creation unseen is this. I
make all the women lose their breath when I whisper in the air and they grab their chest. I
am a juggernaut, laser made, and I will cut you with precision with my server blades. I have a story that you don't want to miss. It's priceless. It's the beginning of all the darkness.
Engage.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, back is the incredible Byer Brown, better known as Mr. Dark Matter, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, PA, right here in the BBTAS studios. Just reminding everybody that you can check out my podcast on iTunes as well as the TPN, which is the Tech Podcast Network, as well as Blueberry. That's Blueberry without the E's. I'm sending mad shout out to Lou from the Lou Trek Show and Brian Detamar, Oofa, and Kabla. Also sending mad shout outs to Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show, Citizen X of Tangents, Gary Holzman of the Computer America Show, and Ben Straw of Ketio.me. Also, my love muffin, Just Sandy. Yeah.
What did I say?
You gotta be. Wait. Ow. Don't hurt me.
That was great. What else can I say after that except you absolutely have to check out Byer Brown's podcast? Well, what else could you say after that except we are going to have a Mike Tech Show Pittsburgh meetup. And I have gotten confirmation by Byer Brown, Uncle Al in the chat, hopefully Reliant, got confirmation. Winston Wolf will be there. I'll be there. My two sons. We're going to be there June 4th in Pittsburgh. The Mike Tech Show meetup. You got 6 months to plan. Definitely send me an email if you are anywhere near the area where you can get to Pittsburgh on that Saturday. Drop me a line. Let me know. So we can count you in. We're going to get a nice little venue where we can meet up, have some beverages, some food, have a good time, and meet up for a few hours. It'll be a lot of fun. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, please try to reserve June 4th. I know it's way in advance, so I'll talk about this again down the road as we get closer and start to firm up more details. But I was very glad at the response. See, my sons and I were going to be up there because that's when the Phillies are in town playing Pittsburgh, and we were going to hit the road games for Saturday night and Sunday afternoon games in Pittsburgh. So we're driving up Friday, and then in the chat room in the post show 1 week, somebody mentioned, hey, why don't we meet up on that Saturday? And I was like, that's a great idea. So that's how that all evolved. That's actually the first meetup. It's funny. Here I live in the Philadelphia area, and the first meetup that we're doing for the Mike Tech Show is going to be in Pittsburgh. So that's great. Let's get back to some email here. This is from Pete. I've been a big fan of the podcast, listening for at least 4 years now. I've never heard you cover the free antivirus firewall and parental control client from Fortinet. Fortinet is a firewall content scanning security appliance company that also provides a free of charge PC security suite. Forti Client Standard Edition includes antivirus firewall category based on content filtering and VPN functionality at no charge. I've been running it on a first generation Atom netbook. I know netbook for over a year with no big performance hit. The minimum requirements for running the client are quite low, and it's great for use on my young kids' low-end PC because of the free content filter. Check out their site, and it's FortiClient, so FortiClient.com, and let me know what you think. Thanks for doing the show. Looking forward to your opinion on this software. I will absolutely look at this. Now, as much as I believe you absolutely have to have antivirus, I'm just not a big software firewall person. And there's different camps on this. I tend to not believe you need that if you got good router in place, you're using OpenDNS for some of the bad filtering of sites, and you keep your antivirus and your anti-spyware up to date, your operating system patches and security fixes up to date, you're good to go. I don't believe you need the firewall software, but there's a lot of differing opinions on that, I know. if you feel you want to have that extra layer of security, you want to have that firewall, you want to filter out, especially content filtering, if you want to put it on a youngster's machine, I think that's a great idea. That's another free client that we can take a look at. Karanti in the chat says, it depends on the level of the user. You're absolutely right. You tend to see more tech-savvy people not use software firewalls. I know for a fact that Steve Gibson does not use one. It's how you look at it and how you trust your local network and how good are you at keeping everything clean and protect it with all of your systems on your network and how comfortable you feel. All right. This is a recent email from Patrick Boyle. I wanted to go over this. He says, comments from last week's 332 show about Google Bookmarks and Acronis. Delicious bookmarks. And I've talked about this a long time ago, and it's delicious.com. It used to be del.icio.us. Now it's just delicious.com. I really enjoyed I've totally forgot about this, Delicious. I really enjoyed the Google bookmarks until I found it was scrambling the names and URLs in my large collection. Google acknowledged the same issue in their support forums, but they let it go for nearly a year by the time they fixed it. I found that Delicious works extremely well for me, so no looking back. Delicious Android app and the Firefox add-on keep me in sync everywhere. I easily include lengthy descriptions for every bookmark by simply highlighting the text on the website as I create the bookmark. Great idea. Everybody's going to have their own feeling. It's like, I like a keyboard, you may not like. Same with a mouse. That's why we have such great choices for a lot of our solutions. And if you haven't heard of Delicious or you haven't used it in a while, maybe this is something to take a look at for bookmark synchronization. About Acronis, he says, the Acronis True Image WD Edition. This is a free version of Acronis True Image for anyone who has at least one Western Digital drive on their system. I did not know that. Also, if you want the full edition, you can get a 40% discount to Full Home Edition. Seagate calls their version of Acronis Disk Wizard. I did not realize Western Digital and Seagate has their own free versions of Acronis. We'll have to see what's limiting about them and get some comparisons. Also, here is an online utility I found very helpful. It's called Montastic and will monitor some URLs every 30 minutes for you for free. If you need to monitor a lot of URLs or need them to be checked every 5 minutes, they have a pro version. I've been using this for several weeks and found it to be the best of the bunch. And that's Montastic, MONTASTIC.com. Thank you, Patrick, for those tips. I appreciate that. This is from Michael. Would you be able to discuss installing Windows 7 from a thumb drive? I have a great link for installing that. It's a process that you can go through. I will have the link in the show notes, but here's the real answer to his question, though. I have a 4-year-old Dell Dimension XPS with a CD drive and a DVD drive. However, I cannot change the BIOS setting to have the computer boot from the DVD drive. With an XP system, all you have to do is hit the F12 key and you will get the boot menu. And then you can pick, using the arrow key, which device you want to boot from. So don't forget that on all Dell systems, you have that capability. Even though the BIOS is set differently, you can override that for that single instance and boot from a different device. So if your only reason to build a USB bootable Windows 7 drive was because of that, and I wrote him back and said, hey, you know, you don't have to do that. If you just want to be able to boot from your Windows 7 DVD to install it, hit F12, pick the DVD drive, away you go. I do that all the time working with client systems, Dell systems. This is from Levi, and he says, love the show. You provide a great service to professional techs everywhere. You had a listener that asked about a free alternative to Microsoft Visio. Just last week, I found a solution. It is simply called DIA and can be found here, and that's live.gnome.org/DIA. And he has the review as a secondary go-to site for free software. He has a site that's makeuseof.com. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And we're always looking for alternatives to the big high-priced products like Microsoft Project and Visio that we seem to be locked into. And if we're, you know, we don't have the money, being budget conscious, it's great to have some alternatives. And of course, there's going to be some trade-offs, but you might not have to spend all that money. This is from Chris, and this is a follow-up to my Kindle show. And he said, thanks for reading out my email on show 331. Your Kindle review was interesting, especially your view on PDF files. The brightness of the light on the Kindle case, which you demonstrated, has me convinced I really need one of those. Thanks. I really appreciate that. And he says, just to let you know, I contacted Amazon support at 6 p.m. on Friday, November 29th. My new Kindle arrived at 10 a.m. Saturday, November 30th. I was up and running in minutes. All my previous purchases were ready to be downloaded, and I could resume my books exactly where I have left off. Speaking of the Kindle, today, and I normally don't cover news events like this, but news articles, but I have to cover this, and I'm going to try to find a link to it. The Wall Street Journal had an article about Google Editions, where Google is about to launch a product that will take over the ebook market. A whole new way of subscribing and purchasing books to be able to read them on any platform. And it's called Google Editions. So if you haven't heard of that, keep an eye on that. And let's take a look at what impact that's going to have on the ebook reader market. What impact is it going to have on the Kindle? Are they going to have a killer solution that's going to rip away the market share of the Kindle, of the bookstores that are currently in place for Borders and Barnes & Noble? It's going to be very interesting. You know, we like competition. It keeps things exciting, and it gives us, the consumer and the user, more choices, a great cost benefit. Let's see what Google does with this and how they implement it. I just wanted to mention that since we're, you know, mentioning the Kindle here. This is from Paul from South Australia. I have been a quiet listener of your shows now for over a year, and I was just wondering something. I live in Australia, and my ISP says I have 20 megabits down, but in reality, I get only 2 megabits down, as seen on my download bar. Now, on one of your last shows, you were saying that you now get anywhere up to 45 meg down. Is that on your download bar, or do you get 4.5 meg showing on your bar like I would? Thanks in advance for your reply, and a big thanks for doing the podcast. I'm getting that based on speedtest.net. And it's also confirmed by how many megabytes I get per second when I am downloading a file. And I average pretty close to 35 meg. I'm not getting 35 meg up, although I'm supposed to. I never see 35 meg. It's usually under 30, a little under 30. And depending on what's going on, there have been days where I know I'm not even getting the 35 meg down, but I'm pretty consistent though. What you want to do is try a couple of the speed tests out there, and there's a few of them. I like speedtest.net. Go to a couple others and do a comparison and see what you're getting for your throughput. And if you're not getting your throughput, there could be a setting, maybe a firmware option that has to happen on your router. If you're not getting what you're supposed to, call your ISP. that, you know, call the tech support. They may be able to hook you up with maybe there's a newer router. Maybe there's a setting that has to be done. There's lots of optimization programs out there that can optimize. You don't mention the operating system you're using. If you're using XP, go to dslreports.com. There are utilities that can help optimize the IP stack and your system to really enhance your internet performance. So there could be some settings that might be holding you back. Also, look for browser tweaks as a way to burst better with like Firefox. There's lots of tweaks and utilities that can optimize your browser's performance to take advantage of these higher bandwidth connections for your ISP. But don't be afraid to call your ISP and challenge them to say, look, I'm not getting the throughput that I'm supposed to. What's up here? And let's hear what they have to say. This is from John, and it's about the Kindle Show. Enjoy your podcast very much and listen to it weekly. I especially appreciate it, the Kindle Show, for the in-depth analysis of your reader. One thing I think you might want to mention about e-readers, though, many local library systems have EPUB and other books available for free download for library subscribers. Ours here in Charlotte County uses the OverDrive Digital Media Service and has extensive ebook downloads available. Unfortunately, our local system does not support the Kindle. It is compatible with the Nook, Kobo, Pan Digital, and Sony readers only. Prospective purchases of e-readers might benefit from checking into their own library system to see if their intended e-reader can take advantage of whatever system their own library uses. This might not be a deal breaker if they plan to buy everything online, but having free e-books for download is certainly a plus in my opinion. Thanks again for the great show. I'm nearly 70 and have been working with computers since the 60s, but always learn something new from every podcast. John. And he is from Port Charlotte, Florida. Thank you so much for writing in. That's a great idea. I got to admit, I can't remember the last time I've walked into a library. I believe it was a few years ago, and it was because I was doing tech support for them, because I was being contracted out by someone else who had the service contract for the libraries, and I was helping them do some work. I can't remember the last time I have walked in and actually checked out the library. So they've come a long way. And that is certainly a great idea to take advantage of some of the free services that just might be around the corner from you. And if your library is supporting ebooks like that and you're in the market, find out which ebook reader they're supporting, because I think that would be a big influence in my decision if I was going to start to borrow from the library their ebooks, and you can save a fortune in doing that. Now, most of your ebooks have, I think it's 100 classic novels like The Art of War and a whole bunch of other classic books that are available even if you're a Kindle, if you're on Barnes & Noble, whatever you're the Sony ebook reader. There's the standard 100 books that I think everybody gets access to, but unfortunately, they're not always the books that you're going to want to read. Take a look at the availability, what's at your library. So that's a great idea. I know a lot of people that will check out DVDs and things from a library, and I don't have a library near me, and I don't have the time to go in there. I want everything right away, and I want it online. You know, my Kindle, I want to buy something, I want it right then and there, or have it delivered to me, like my morning paper. I want it fast and quick and electronic. I don't take advantage sometimes of what's right in front of me that could be saving me money. So that's a very good. Thank you for that. That's the last email for the show. It's getting close to Christmas. If you are using Amazon for whatever you're purchasing, go to miketechshow.com. Left-hand corner of the website, there's an Amazon icon. Click on that, then make your purchase. A percentage of that purchase goes to support the Mike Tech Show. Your price stays the same. You still get the great deals, the great support, the great shipping from Amazon. but I'll get a commission, and that helps support the show. And I really appreciate it if for this Christmas season you take a moment and don't forget to click on that icon before you're buying anything from Amazon. I have some music for tonight. A couple weeks ago, I seen Shinedown in concert with my son, and it was an acoustic set. It was an acoustic set in which I lost my hearing because we were right in front of the speakers on the left-hand side of the stage. Because it was partially acoustic, they only had two guitars, I think, that were acoustic. Everything else wasn't. So it was like a half acoustic set. Very good, though. And this is a song that I did not get to hear at the concert, and I have an acoustic version of this song. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up. This is called Someday.
Someday, when I'm older, and they never know my name, somehow, if I'm honest, I could never feel ashamed. Maybe I was wrong to hold you up so kept inside. I don't know if it felt like I wanted you here the way that I wanted you last time. We're not on the same page. You don't even know me, 'cause you never took the time. Someday, when it's over and you never show your face, I hope you remember how I tried to make you a place. And so now I move on to keep my peace of mind. Some way I failed you, but I just ran out of time. I don't know if it felt like I wanted you here the way that I wanted you last time. We're not on the same page. You don't even know me, 'cause you never. Not sure that you hear me. I'm not sure that you look at me the same. I will always be attached to you, but I'm never gonna feel the same. I don't know if it felt like I wanted you here. When I'm older.
That is Shinedown and the song Someday. Hope you enjoyed that. I will have a link to all of their great music that you can obtain from Amazon.com. That is it for tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for your continued support. I really appreciate it. That is it for tonight. Thank you, and I will talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.